Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio-exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's the Paul Gallant Show.
Pauly G Show. He's the best in Houston.
Houston's most interactive sports talk show.
Hey, how's it going, Paul?
Oh, what's good, my man?
How you doing, Paul?
What are you doing, Paul?
Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
I love the show. Y'all keep it up.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
You are definitely living in the hindsight world today, Paul.
Most interactive sports talk show in town. The Astros are on a roll. See if they can get a authentic American League sweep over the Detroit Tigers this afternoon after a win yesterday. If they get another win, ooh, half game back of the Tigers in the American League. Currently, the Yankees and Tigers are tied for the best record in the league, and the Mariners lead the American League West. They're up a game on the Astros. Also, from a Rockets perspective, Game 5 is tonight at Toyota Center. Tip-off at 6:30. I am debating whether or not I will go. How about that? Paul, are you a serious journalist? Listen, I'm just saying, I'm not sure I'm feeling it. The last segment, we were talking about Giannis Antetokounmpo and about his back and forth with Tyrese Halliburton's dad. Some people were texting in when we were talking about the possibility of the Rockets trading for Giannis Antetokounmpo with the Rockets' body not even cold yet. I'd give up almost anything for Giannis. Whoa. Easy now. Almost anything for Giannis? Easy now. The Ringer suggested this. The Rockets trade Jalen Green, Alperen Şengün, first-round picks in 2025 and 2027, plus one of the Suns' future first-round picks for Giannis. The consensus amongst Rockets fans is, hell no. I don't know. I'd think about it.
Yeah, I don't think that's like insane.
Is anyone untouchable, Sean? Is what? Anyone untouchable?
Probably Amin Thompson.
That's all I'd
most
think too.
Most untouchable would be Amin Thompson. Right. Even him. I'm not sure if he's like 100%, but he's definitely the least touchable.
Okay. I'm thinking about it with everybody. I like Thompson, so this is a preference thing. I do not want to give up Thompson because of how much I like him as a player.
Yeah. And I mean, you do then go like, well, then Giannis and Amin Thompson on the court at the same time. Like, how does that work? I think you just figure it out. You already have Amin Thompson and Alperen Şengün on the court at the same time. And you'll have those two guys and Steven Adams on the court at the same time. Like, there's a lot of times where the shooting isn't what's being prioritized.
If Şengün got a little more physical, and if the Rockets going into next year, and Şengün would be traded in a trade like this, but if the Rockets had Adams and Giannis and Şengün, I mean that would be so fun.
They're the monsters.
They'd just be beating the hell out of everybody. And I'm assuming Jabari Smith would perhaps be traded as well if there is a move made by the Rockets to go and get one of those stars. But yeah, what if they just have all these massive human beings? Amin Thompson, who plays like he's 8 feet tall. That would be fun. Just like a team of bullies. You know, let's play Red Rover. Screw basketball. Let's just play Red Rover. See what happens. Come find out. Alperen Şengün might not be doing that much. But Giannis Antetokounmpo, he sees you. He's going to put his head on your head. It is a very, very, very imposing thing.
Yeah, I will say, Giannis. Hey, Giannis. Know you're listening. Know you're always,
big fan.
Yeah, tuning in. If Tyrese Haliburton's dad did that, if you're on the Rockets, you think Dylan Brooks would have let that slide? You think Steven Adams would have let that slide? You think that that Cam Whitmore and Amin Thompson and Ime Udoka would have let him talk at you for that long? No, I don't think so.
No. There would have been a fight. Where were his teammates?
Pat Connaughton was the first one there, and he was a peacemaker.
I mean, the Pacers provided more support.
Yeah, T.J. McConnell was helping him more.
For Tyrese Halliburton's dad than the Rockets – excuse me, not the Rockets. Than the Bucks provided for
their franchise
Giannis Antetokounmpo. Yeah. Like, who, by the way, like, probably wants out, and they should be doing everything in their power to keep him around. Just saying. Speaking of Tyrese Halliburton's dad, for those who don't know, Tyrese Halliburton's dad confronted Giannis Antetokounmpo after last night's game and deserved to have his ass beat. After the game, imagine you're Tyrese Halliburton. You just won.
Hit a game winner.
People have been calling you overrated, and he even posted on social media, probably unknowing, not knowing what had happened. Like, call that overrated. And then you're at the podium. You're wearing sunglasses. You're excited. And someone's like, hey, your dad tried to fight Giannis. So what's up with that? Here's what Tyrese Halliburton had to say.
But I'll talk to him. I'll talk with Giannis eventually about it. Just, you know, I don't think that my pops was in the right at all there. And unfortunate, you know, what happened in the end there. But, I mean, this series was a lot of war of words, a lot of war of antics, a lot of stuff going back and forth. And that's just part of, you know, this rivalry and what we've built here over the last couple of years.
Wait.
You know, it's unfortunate.
Tyrese, wait. Well, this is part of this rivalry? Your dad? Is your dad a part of this rivalry? Settle down. That would be funny if families were involved.
That's the funny thing, you tried to get that off.
Yeah, right. Because I think he's trying to defend his dad. If you're in this situation, it's tough. What are you supposed to do? It is your dad. It's blood. It's the person who brought you into the world, who, I'm assuming, supported you your entire childhood. I am assuming that Tyrese Halliburton likes his dad. And I think if any of us were in that situation, and your dad goes and makes a clown of himself, you're going to be a little nervous about throwing your dad under the bus. So I like what he tried to do there, even though, Tyrese, we know what you were trying to do there, but I liked what he tried to do there. Oh, it's just the playoffs, you know?
It's part of the series.
Part of the series. Here's more from Tyrese Halliburton.
Part of, you know, this rivalry and what we've built here over the last couple of years. And, you know, it's unfortunate what happened there, but I think it's just competition. And as far as my pops, again, I don't agree what happened there. We'll have a conversation. You know, everybody's grown men, and, you know, we'll just go from there.
Everybody's grown men. The dad is the grownest of
the men. Yeah, I was going to say, your dad's 60. What are you talking about? Maybe he's like 50. I don't know.
I don't know what I would do. This is the thing, like, I could never imagine my dad doing something like this, even though me and my dad are wired very similarly and we both have we have powerful tempers when they are engaged.
Things get heated.
Right.
That's what this series is.
But I mean, my dad was awesome growing up, you know. I never experienced it. It would be more my dad would be mad at something. And that's kind of where I'm at, where do I get mad at people? No, I get mad at myself or something. Like last night, I was getting mad at Squarespace for my website last night. You know? I can't imagine my dad ever doing that. Can you, Sean, imagine Mr. Mapes doing something like that?
No. Especially
even with a few drinks in him.
It's more what you're getting at with the – then my dad's not like an angry guy. But it's like when I played sports, he was more likely to go after the refs than he was to, like, get in anybody's face. But, yeah, I always – that was my experience, like, playing basketball, was that my dad and – my uncle was the worst. My uncle chirping at this ref that makes $7 an hour reffing these games.
I think that my big problem, if I ever have a kid – and, again, I don't know if I want one. There are times where I do. There are times where I don't. But if I ever had a kid – the refs would not be the problem because I understand that it's generally like some poor kid that's stuck
there. Tell that to Rick Mapes.
But the coaches, oh, watch out. I know enough about sports to know when a coach sucks and not actually be full of it. So not being a annoying overparent who's saying, why isn't my kid playing? No, if my kid stinks, I'll understand why my kid isn't playing. But if a coach is bad, I remember one time, and I got in trouble. My cousin played at Strake, and this was, I want to say it was a JV football game about a decade ago. I forget who they were playing, but the team that they played against was up. They were winning by a touchdown with less than a minute left, and they threw the ball, and it got pick six, and Strake won. And I could not get over how stupid the play call was. And I was telling anybody who would listen, because I was younger, I was like 24, and anyone who would listen, I'm like, what an idiot that person was. There's parents around. There's other kids around. And it's a middle school football game. But I could not get over how bad that was. That would be where I would get in trouble. But actually confronting a, I don't know, 6'11" man known as the Greek Freak after he just lost and getting in his face, nope. I ain't doing that.
Yeah.
I ain't that bold.
That's the other thing. It's easy to picture it with, like I said, like a 21-year-old high school basketball ref. It's easy to picture that with even, like a like you were saying, a coach of a JV football, high school football team.
Yeah.
To do that to Giannis, of all people, is crazy.
It's nuts. Really. Like
do it to Gary Trent. That makes more sense.
Do it to Reed Shepard, you know? Like, no offense, Reed. By the way, the Reed Shepard haters are probably not feeling very happy today seeing that Stephon Castle is the second straight Spur to win Rookie of the Year.
Yeah. But, I mean, the Rockets don't need another guy who can't shoot.
That's a fair point.
Like that. It's just like he wouldn't, whatever.
From the 281... All of the parents got kicked out of my nephew's youth soccer game recently for 10-year-old soccer. See, that's tough. And how do you kick everyone out?
Everyone. To your cars.
I think there's only one person in Houston that has this kind of energy as far as aggressive sports parents. It's Tari Eason's mom, who, if you remember, after game four, said that Tari Eason, who had a rough game, is the second best player on the Warriors if he's on the Warriors. But I don't see Tari Eason's mom, who, by the way, called out Tyrese Halliburton's dad about like the double standard. I don't think there's a double standard for women going on.
Yeah,
to the
I
court.
Think people are calling Tyrese Halliburton's dad a clown, too.
Right, exactly. And it's not like moms go on the court and do this and don't get called out for it either, you know? I used to be scared that I would get pulled off the field if I ever scored a touchdown, which I did twice. My mom wasn't there for either of those touchdowns. I was terrified that if I did a celebration, that I would get pulled off the field, like by the ear. She always told me that if you do a touchdown dance, I will pull you off by the ear. I scored two touchdowns in my high school career, and mom wasn't there for either of
them. Did you do a touchdown
dance? No, I didn't. No, I just handed the ball to the ref. I know. And in retrospect, I was like, I could have gotten away with it.
That was your chance.
Could have spiked the ball.
Do the dirty bird or whatever.
The dirty bird, yeah. Oof. Anyway, it's the Paul Gallant Show. What would you do if your parent got aggressive in the midst of a sporting event? 713-780-3776 to call in, to text in on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 975. Is there anyone else who you would see doing worse than what Tyrese Halliburton's dad did with Giannis Antetokounmpo? I can think of one. Rockets. Warriors. Game 5 tonight. How do we feel more excited about this game where the Rockets could potentially be eliminated? We'll discuss on the other side of the Paul Gallant Show. Stay put.
ESPN 97.5. The best in Houston sports talk is ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
The most interactive sports talk show in town. 713-780-3776 to call, to text on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 975. Vibe is definitely off before tonight's Rockets-Warriors Game 5, 6:30 Toyota Center. I'm leaning towards going. I feel like I have to go. Got to be there. I am a Big J journalist after all. I also get why a lot of people might not go. I went back into the archives of the Houston Chronicle this morning. Archives that you actually can't search with Control F. For anyone who doesn't use Control F on your computer, Control F, you can search for keywords. No, you have to go old school because the archives of the Houston Chronicle from the early 90s, it's just pictures of every single page.
Yeah, it's like a PDF. Scanned.
Yeah. So I went back to the May 12th and May 13th editions of the Houston Chronicle from 1994, which is the day of and the day after that the Choke City article got posted. And it was fascinating because the vibes were out in 94 too. And at that point, the Rockets hadn't won a title yet. So you kind of understood. Down 2-0, losing two games at home. And especially when Vernon Maxwell, after a loss in game one, told Rockets fans to go to hell. This is a real quote from Vernon Maxwell, who now everyone likes to get it. Again, he's a young guy. I don't have a problem with that. But said Vernon Maxwell in an article written by Eddie Sefko of the Houston Chronicle, quote, "Our fans are the worst, and you can write that. Tell them I said that. To hell with them." They were mad because in game one of this series, there were 1,500 empty seats. And since the stadium was as empty as it was, did you know that Channel 2 had to buy 1,500 seats just so that the game would be televised? I didn't know things were that bad. But yeah. Channel 2 stepped up and purchased a percentage of unsold tickets so the game could be televised locally for a Rockets-Suns semifinal games in 1994.
Because it would have been blacked out?
I think so.
Oh, my God.
And it wasn't on national TV at that moment in time.
That's because, yeah, it would have just been blacked out on NBC, like the Houston NBC.
So that's after game one. The fans weren't feeling it. But no. What I found fascinating about these 1994 articles is that the writers would actually interview fans. So after they lost game two, where they had a 20-point lead in the fourth quarter, which was at the time the largest in league history, here are what a couple of fans said. Jonathan Fagan, the Rockets beat writer back then, was writing stuff like this. "Many fans said that since the crushing defeat happened in a home game, it hurt even more than blowing the 32-point lead for Oilers Bills." And that was fresh.
Yeah.
That might have been two years at that moment in time. Because I think, was that early 92 or was that early 93? I forget the year, but I know it was around then. So this was fresh. And Rockets fans are saying, yeah, this was worse. Blowing a 20-point lead in game two of a series that they ultimately ended up winning, at least in the moment. Here are some random fans that were quoted. The vibes were off then. "They can say we weren't behind them in the first game. I don't agree, but they can say it. They can't say it tonight. They can't blame us. I want to hear what their excuse is this time." Bill Jacks of Clear Lake. "Houston needed something to cut loose. It's much louder in Boston, New York, and Chicago." Damn. But I can understand why the fans are out and check out because at times, yeah, you do see a lot of this. In that article of the Houston Chronicle, there was a list of all the moments that Houston sports have choked leading up to that moment in time. We're talking 1994, May 12th. Columnist Ed Fowler, this is a column that he wrote. Wild. "Let's not sling any bull today, for enough bull has been slung already. We don't know the reason for the curse on Gag City. Only that it's as real as Sam Houston's statue. You can't touch it, but you can feel it. Like the plague. We are, therefore we suffer." Maybe we offended the sports gods somehow. "Bum Phillips and Nolan Ryan got run out of town. Maybe there's a price for that. In each case, it was over the strenuous objection of the fans. But this wouldn't be the first time retribution for the sins of the shepherds was visited upon the flock. Damn it, Fowler. Keep cooking. You lose some, you lose some. That's life. Citizens of Tampa Bay have no idea how good they have it. Their one big lease franchise blows. He didn't say that. He was more polite. I just love it. This article that he wrote, though, basically said, like, the fans, part of the blame for the Rockets blowing game two?
Maybe.
So are the fans to blame for game one? It wasn't that crowded. I know it's Easter Sunday. And this Rockets game in question, May 12th of 1994, was coming off of a Mother's Day game where 1,500 seats were left unpurchased and a KPRC had to buy it. So the vibes were out then. I guess the vibes were always out when the going gets tough in Houston sports. And I think a lot of people like to conveniently point to, hey, choke city, we choke a lot, blah, 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 even though the Rockets literally have been clutch city.
Well, at that point, they weren't.
That's right. But the thing I cannot get past is that historically, this franchise has a pretty damn good track record when things aren't going so well.
Is the most like stably, like consistent, like they're normally pretty good.
Right. I know people point at 2018, you're up 3-2, but I mean, the Warriors were the better team, even if you had the better record in the regular season, and Chris Paul got hurt. Like the 27 missed threes, it sucks. But this team historically has given you reasons to believe, and everyone is entirely out. This Warriors team is not that impressive. That's all I'm saying. This is not me trying to put you back on, but I feel like we should have a little bit better energy going into tonight's game, no?
Especially because, like, this is... It'd be one thing if this was this team's, like, final shot. If this was the Bucks, you know, where, hey, this is an older team's one last ride in the playoffs, and it goes miserably. Like, no, this is the team's first shot at this.
Yeah.
And people are just like, bleep this, we're done. The two best players are bums.
You know, yeah, that's... You can be out on Jalen Green, I get that. Because if you have been paying attention to the Rockets the last couple of years, there are reasons to be it. But I'm surprised by the level of checked out that there is, considering that in 1995... In the Western Conference semifinals, the Rockets came back from down 3-1 against the Phoenix Suns, who had also blown the Suns, a 2-0 series lead the year before. You know, talk about choke city. It's Phoenix.
Yeah.
Then, 10 years ago, they're down 3-1 to the Clippers. Chris Paul? Blake Griffin? Was he still there?
Yes, that was the Lop City.
Yeah.
That was like kind of the end.
DeAndre Jordan?
DeAndre Jordan was there?
Yeah, they ended them. I mean, they ended the Charles Barkley Suns. They ended the Lob City Clippers down 3-1.
Whoa.
Well, it's things that they've done. That's all I'm saying. They have ended eras coming back from down 3-1. History does not necessarily predict what's going to happen next. I totally agree with the people who are saying, well, this is totally removed. All I'm saying is, like, hey, give them a shot. Give them a shot. See what happens tonight. If they win tonight, and it's a big if, but if they win tonight, I would like some of you to come back, okay? And don't worry, there's a lot of show left. We can do some supernatural stuff if you want. You know, I can go growing up in Massachusetts, a diehard Patriots fan, going to Catholic masses. Literally, the last thing I would pray for was a Patriots Super Bowl. Could do that. I've also seen, and I'm not sure how we do this, Sean, but I think we should just blind call this voodoo shop. There's a voodoo shop in Houston. We could ask him what we can do, what we can't do.
I think we can do that.
Yeah, yeah. If we call him, like if you call him during the commercial break and ask him to be on the radio.
On air. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, like maybe I think we're gonna call a voodoo shop in the 2 o'clock hour. I don't know how voodoo works, so we're gonna ask some questions. Mm-hmm. I don't want to get canceled for putting a voodoo hex on the Golden State Warriors.
God, what if it worked?
But
what if it's like Space Jam and they just forget how to play basketball?
It would be kind of funny. And I would 100% take credit for it. Julian has a thought on the Houston Rockets on the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. Stick around. Oh, wait. Julian. Not stick around. Julian, what you got?
What's going on, gentlemen?
Yo.
So what's a more realistic trade? The Bucks sending Giannis to the Rockets for inconsistent, nail painting, JG, Cam Whitmore, who gets as much playing time as you and I, Jabari, and a couple picks, or Jaylen Brown, Porzingis, and Pritchard. What do you guys think?
I don't see the last one happening. I do not see the last one happening. So I would say the first one. Sorry, Boston's
not doing
that.
They're both different levels of probably won't happen. Although the green one's like that's a little bit closer. Just Boston trading away Jaylen Brown. That's where you lose me.
Yeah.
That's just no matter how this season ends. I think they'll probably trade one of Porzingis or Holiday, if not both, just to like try to get a little bit cheaper. Because basically what their owner did before selling the team was sign everyone to giant contracts and then goes, all right, see you later.
Yeah.
You'll pay for the new buyer will pay for it.
I like that though. Shout out to Wick Grosbeck.
Awesome move. That's 100% what you should
He's
do.
Basically still like sort of overseeing things too. And I'm like, please don't leave Wick. God, Wick is a great owner for the Celtics. Celtics have been so good since 08. It's been incredible. Really has been. I'm thankful I'm a Celtics fan. It's nice. It's nice to have that. You know, I want to see you guys have that same kind of same kind of awesome, you know? Text in. Attacking the fan base, it's not an attack, relax, is insane to me. Watch parties are always popping around the city. No one can afford to go to these games. No, this is about just the collective vibe right now. Everyone seems out. And I mean, this it's not the Harden Rockets where we had seen this so many times. You sort of got beaten down into thinking, all right, this is who they were. Outside of 2018, like leading up to 2018, I think after the 2014 year, and after the 2015, how easily the Warriors dispatched them in the Western Conference Finals, like 2016 and 2017. 17, when they went up against the Spurs and they lost. Like, yeah, I got it.
17, that's when I turned in my red rowdy badge and gun of like, all right. And then they immediately had the best regular season record in franchise history when they traded for Chris Paul. But there's always in the back of my mind the like – hey, James Harden was so bad in Game 6 against the Spurs that people thought he was, like, on drugs or concussed. Like, people had to come up with conspiracy theories as to how bad he was. Then not just Rockets fans. Like, Stephen A. Smith was like, this man must have been hungover. That's how bad he played. So, I guess the Harden Rocket, is it just as simple as, like, rooting for an offensive first team? Is easier than rooting for a defensive first team because when the defensive first team loses, you're just like, oh my God.
Right.
They cannot get a basket.
Hopeless. They look hopeless.
Yeah.
From Desert Stroh, Rockets have the deeper team. Warriors are top heavy and old. This series is not over. One game at a time. Until the Warriors win four games, I'm locked in. Okay, we got at least one.
Thank you, Desert Stroh.
Desert Stroh, we appreciate that. From the 281, this is just depressing. Paul, most of the people who remember the 94 season are dead. That might be right.
No, not most.
But like a lot.
Not most.
But a lot. I mean, someone else texted in. Ago. I feel like you have to be in your mid-40s to really remember the Suns series.
Yeah.
But if you're in your 70s, 80s, you're too old to care. If you're in your late 20s, 30s, you're too young to remember.
Yeah, I mean, this series happened 2 years before I was born.
But there is a generational moment for the Rockets.
For every generation. They get their 3-1 comeback.
There's been a 3-1 comeback. Like,
and it's always a year that ends in 5.
Right. So, listen, we're not suggesting it'll happen, but that was a good tweet that was posted from the 713. Paul, I appreciate your positivity. Pause. It's not necessarily positivity. I'm just saying they deserve a little more respect. That's it.
Yeah, don't let go of the rope.
None of the teams the Rockets came back from had Steph Curry, who only needs an inch to burn you from the 3-point line.
And they had
Charles Barkley, Chris Paul. I mean, it's not like they were bums that they were doing this against, you know? Like, those Suns teams were awesome. Wasn't that Suns team coming off of a finals loss to the Bulls?
Yeah, 93 they were in the finals.
Right. So, I mean, like, it's not like they had never gone anywhere.
I will say, though, it's less about the guys that the other teams had. It's more... That Rocket team had Hakeem Olajuwon on it.
Yeah, that's
that guy was really good. Turns out that guy was awesome.
They had Drexler for the
Drexler on 95
second run. Yeah, yeah. Man, I think it's so
wild. They had Josh Smith and Corey Brewer from Game 6 of 2015.
That's so wild. Game 6 was those two.
They had Pablo Prigioni in Game 7.
Pablo Prigioni.
He played in Game 7.
Yeah, he was good. Dwight Howard was good in that series. People forget that.
He was good.
Dwight Howard was a good Rocket. I mean, Dwight Howard, weirdo, for sure.
Yeah. But, and, like, not as good as he was expected to be.
Right.
But he was good.
Anyway. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5, 92.5. A very quick edition of the 10-minute drill. We're probably going to make some prayers and call a voodoo shop in the 2 o'clock hour. So stay tuned for that. If you want to weigh in on the Rockets and how you're feeling right now, we hope that we've put a little pep in your step. For goodness sake, it is the Paul Gallant Show. Stay put.
The best in Houston sports talk is ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
The most interactive sports talk show in town. Junior Broncos is suggesting that the Rockets perhaps turn to Jobu. Hot for bats. Jobu from Major League. Pedro Serrano, played by Dennis Haysbert, who also played President Palmer in the amazing TV show 24. He starts getting into the supernatural to make his hitting turn around. Guess what? It works. Then in Major League 2, there's a borderline racially insensitive recurring bit where Serrano is being called out by a Japanese baseball player. And let's just say they really play into the stereotypes and it hasn't exactly aged well. Junior Broncos comments, I pissed off now, Jobu. Look, I go to you. I stick up for you. You know, help me now. Rockets and free throws afraid. I ask Jobu to come. Take fear from Rockets. I offer him cigar, rum. He will come. Okay, so you're doing your part. We appreciate that. Texter's killing the vibes. The Clippers had Doc Rivers talking about the 3-1 blown series. But he is an NBA champion, for what it's worth. An NBA champion who blows a lot of 3-1 leads and wants you to give him credit for the amount of 3-1 leads that he has taken.
That is a good point. And the Bucks blowing a 7-point lead with like 30 seconds left. Hey, they had a 7-point lead with 30 seconds left. Doc Rivers wants me to, you know, tip of the cap to you, Doc Rivers.
Tip of the cap. Just a little tip.
That is such a good point with the Clippers had Doc Rivers. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Well, the Warriors have Steve Kerr. Oh, wait, he's actually like kind of outcoached the Rockets.
He's very much outcoached the Rockets. Yeah. That is something that the Rockets should be looking at this offseason if things do not go their way tonight and looking to upgrade. Let's do a fairly quick edition of the 10-minute drill.
We're ready for some football, baby.
Dad, hush!
We're tackling the biggest news in the NFL.
This just in.
With Paul Gallant. The 10-minute drill starts now.
Football time. We're still waiting to see who the Steelers get at quarterback. Potentially be their starting guy this coming season, unless they're really serious about Mason Rudolph. Per Ian Rapoport, per Albert Breer, NFL insiders, the Pittsburgh Steelers may be sniffing around about Atlanta Falcons quarterback Kirk Cousins if they don't end up signing Aaron Rodgers. Between Cousins and this version of Aaron Rodgers, man, I don't know what I'd prefer. Because both, I feel like health has finally caught up to both of them. Obviously, if both are healthy and closer to their prime, you're taking Rodgers over Cousins. But, you know, for all of Rodgers' talent, a lot of one and dones on his end back in the day in the playoffs, almost as many as Cousins. He doesn't get the same crap for it because he won all those MVPs. Few players were as uncriticized for not winning Super Bowls on a regular basis as Aaron Rodgers, considering at times they were considered to be the most talented quarterback in the game. We want to talk about a double standard. Peyton Manning got a lot more crap and ultimately won 2 Super Bowls and went to 4 than Rodgers ever did. And I feel like that's not brought up enough about Rodgers, who has turned into quite the insufferable talker over the last couple of years.
Yeah. I think if you're a team in 2025, I guess you want Rodgers?
I think with Cousins, we saw last year, coming back from the injury he came back from.
I will say this, that they both tore their Achilles, but they tore them, what, like 3 months apart? Right? Because Aaron Rodgers tore his week one.
Right.
He carried the flag and then tore his Achilles. Cousins was like in November. It was either October or November, end of October, beginning of November.
Right. So it was in the middle of the year.
He is fresher on the, I guess, rehab process of things. But it's also just like the highs. I'd like, just give me the highs of Rodgers, and I'm betting on that. Let's see.
Cousins also dealing with a right shoulder and elbow injury last year. So, I don't know. Either way, I mean, you're not going anywhere.
No.
You make a move like that to make your fan base a little bit more excited, but I think Steelers fans are kind of burnt out with the mediocre has-beens at quarterback.
I was going to say, that those are two just very post-Ben Roethlisberger, and honestly, like, the last 3 years of Ben Roethlisberger's career, Pittsburgh Steelers caliber quarterback, where you're like, yeah, they can get us to being the third wild card or the second wild card, but, like, they're not... You're not going to win any games in the playoffs with this guy.
No, you're not. And you're not with Rodgers either. But that's, I guess, who the Rodgers... the lack of action on the Rodgers front has led to the Steelers
They have to do their... Because there's a chance that Rodgers just goes like, actually, I don't want to play.
Yeah. There is a rash of prank phone calls taking place, and it's victimizing NFL prospects. We heard about Shedeur Sanders getting a prank phone call from somebody pretending to be Mickey Loomis saying, like, yeah, we're about to draft you, but you're going to have to wait a little bit longer. It wasn't a great prank call, honestly. Didn't even have a voice. Weren't any jokes made. Clearly it was done just for fun in the moment, but not done for social media purposes. We found out that it was Jax Ulbrich, yes, spelled J-A-X Ulbrich, who carried out said phone call. And after an apology and a statement put out by the Falcons have still been fined by the NFL $250,000. Defensive coordinator Jeff Ulbrich fined $100,000. Damn! All because of his kid. Jax took the number from his father Jeff's iPad and used it to prank him during the draft. $100,000 in the hole because of your kid? This is like all the families who are getting popped by Napster back in the 90s. Someone in my school had that happen. It scared the hell out of all of us. Because we're in this little bougie prep school in New England. So the only families that they're going to probably go after who are illegally downloading music are ones with money. And some kid in my sister's grade, the grade above me, ended up having the whole crackdown on his house. Like, just, they were just the random one picked. I guess he downloaded so many, but I think also the FAI was like, they have the money to pay it.
Yeah, we'll actually get our money from this fine.
$100,000 because of your kid, man. Jax is grounded for life. Does he go to college now?
Yeah.
I mean, probably. That's like at least 2 years of tuition.
His dad's the defensive coordinator for the Falcons.
But I don't think defensive coordinators make that much money. Coordinators make,
a million. I looked it up. It was $1.5 million. That's
okay.
What Ulbrich makes.
Okay. And still a lot.
Yeah. No, that's a big percentage of his salary.
If they just bought a beach house, we got to sell the beach house? Oh, think about the family.
I hate you, Mom. I'm Jax Ulbrich. Nate Tice of Yahoo outlined in the past decade what the Falcons, the organization, has been fined for, and it's always something very dumb. They've been fined $350,000 and a fifth-round pick for the illegal crowd noise.
Oh yeah,
they got fined $100,000, including the head coach getting fined for an injury report violation on Bijan Robinson, where they said he was active and they just didn't play him. They got fined $250,000 and a fifth-round pick for tampering with Kirk Cousins. And then now they got fined $200,000 for a prank phone call.
I forgot they tampered with Kirk Cousins. Of all the things on that list,
I mean, tampering with Kirk Cousins and then getting Michael Penix immediately is pretty damn funny, but nothing is topping the son of the defensive coordinator prank calling Shedeur Sanders with a not even good prank phone call.
That is a good point. And I think it got...
Did not get his money's worth.
It got pushed under the rug. But yes, that like... It was such a bad...
We didn't even air the audio because it wasn't good.
And it was... Like you said, he didn't try to sound like anyone else. He just sounded like a 21-year-old that goes to Ole Miss. Like, he just... Hey, man. I'm Mickey Loomis.
Definitely a black eye for Ole Miss as an institution in terms of...
Yeah, one of the
creativity.
Worst things that they've done.
Well... Yeah, we're not going to go down that rabbit hole. People got in trouble for that one. Abdul Carter also got a prank call during the draft. And I saw this. Could be right, could be wrong. But apparently, Shiloh Sanders got a prank call from somebody claiming to be the Houston Texans as well. Shiloh Sanders actually went undrafted. That would suck if you're the undrafted guy. Also, you're the younger brother of Shedeur. But I bet if you're Shiloh, you're probably pretty happy.
Oh,
Shedeur fell as far as he did.
I think Shiloh's the older brother.
Oh, Shiloh the older brother?
Yeah.
Okay, either way, there's probably a little bit of Shiloh that's like, about Shedeur falling in the draft. There's got to be.
He had the clip on Thursday while Shedeur was falling, where he goes, man, Shedeur, if they're making you fall, I can't imagine what they're going to do to me. It's a very funny thing to say. Be like, man, if they're not drafting you, I don't know when I'll be drafted. Like, yeah, Shiloh, like, I don't think he'll be drafted.
Continuing in the 10-minute drill going around the NFL. The Eagles went to the White House earlier this week. We keep on getting fun stories from this, and they don't have to do with who went and who didn't go. This is just amazing. From Eagles defensive back Eli Ricks. He tweeted this. After seeing her in person, Ivanka, daughter of Donald Trump, is exactly my type. Donald Trump's daughter is beautiful. Damn. First off, bonk. Second, you know what? A tip of the hat. Complimenting a strong, powerful, married, but also independent woman. Beauty is beauty.
I do.
What's
like
wrong
that,
with saying someone looks good?
I do like that he had to see her in person to get the, like, you know what? She passes the test.
But some people in person are beautiful, and you know, people are probably dumping on Eli for saying, like, that's exactly my type, a beautiful woman. No, he sees a powerful woman, a strong and powerful woman. Let's normalize this. Come on. Let's normalize catcalling women on the internet again. So, I remember back in my day, you could catcall a woman. You could whistle at some toots walking down the street. Hey, broad, got a nice pair up there. Yeah, I remember when you could do that back in the day. Now you can't. Thanks, Obama.
Walking by a construction site. Yeah.
Has that actually ever happened? Is that a real thing?
It has to have been a real thing.
Okay.
Anyway. Or construction site guys started doing that after they saw it on TV.
You're a sexy dame over there. Woo woo.
Yeah.
Awooga.
Hey, pretty lady.
Yeah. Anyway, Eli Ricks, good for you. I have no shame in that, but generally, the horniness on the internet is going to get called out every single
time.
It's
just a very funny thing to tweet after visiting the White House.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, the president's daughter, my type.
The Texans signed another offensive lineman. They signed Jake Andrews off of waivers from the Patriots. Not to be confused with David Andrews, their 10-year center, who they also cut this offseason. So another offensive lineman joins the Houston Texans offensive line. Thunderdome! I felt like that sounded like Tina Turner right there. So there you go. Also around the National Football League. Is anyone surprised to hear, talking about the Steelers a little bit earlier, that Antonio Brown and Ben Roethlisberger have beef? Brown posted, I guess yesterday, Ben Roethlisberger still mad. His sister, sexual act, 2011 Pro Bowl. I think this is one of the posts that Antonio Brown made himself and did not have whoever manages his social media, who seems to be pretty good at it. I think this was just Brown posting. That would be a reason for beef. Feel like if you're wide receiver one, You can't have relations with QB1's sister, especially at the 2011 Pro Bowl of all Pro Bowls. That one, come on. What are we doing here?
Was that? I mean, that still had to be in Hawaii, right?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
Having themselves a good old time. Antonio Brown's such a freak. I mean, remember that video of him in the pool? Like, what is... The CTE hit him hard. But even then, I think this might have been who he was before CTE. No one gets more of an excuse for CTE than Antonio Brown. Oh, yeah, the CTE. Because, I mean, because he's mildly entertaining on social media, he has yet to be completely shunned by all of society. Hell, he was on Joe Rogan a couple of months ago.
Yeah.
I did not listen to that one.
No.
Not doing that one.
3.5 hours of...
Not doing that one. I'm not doing Terrence Howard. Like, there's some people that are truly crazy. Spare me. No, I'll just listen to the stand-ups.
Or just, like, give me the clips. I want someone else to, you know, sift through. Just give me the best 45 seconds of Antonio Brown on this. But, yeah, he does 100% get a pass. Even though, like, I don't know, he shouldn't get a pass for the 2011 Pro Bowl. Like,
No, definitely not from Ben Roethlisberger, at least. From the 409 in the 10-minute drill. No speak of Champion League. Barcelona's on the pitch in 10. Is there an NFL team in Barcelona?
Not yet.
Okay.
That's what Raj is working on.
I'd be okay with an NFL team in Barcelona, honestly. If we do have to put our football overseas, that's where I think about. Yeah, I don't give a rat's ass about the Champions League. It's not American effort, you know? Lionel Messi, he's so good. Oh, yeah? He didn't play in Houston. Fraud.
Yeah. Middle finger to the city.
Yeah, middle finger to the city. So I say middle finger to international soccer as a whole. So how about that? How about that, texter? Someone texted in, Paul, you have siblings? You give off only kid vibes. Nope. My sister basically was the smartest person at my school for the entirety of my life, which made it a lot easier for me to move with my mom to Florida while my dad and my sister stayed up in Massachusetts. A broken home. But honestly, it was more like being in your sister's shadow when your sister is godly. Can't say that. But when your sister is one of the smartest people you know, it sucks. It sucks. Any other family? Paul hosts a radio show. Maybe that's not as cool in 2025, but this family?
Yeah.
Second fiddle.
How many times were you told, like, but Paul, your sister, XYZ?
I used to get in trouble, but also exceptions were made for me in middle school because of who my sister was.
Did you have the same teachers? I imagine that.
Oh, yeah. It was a small school.
Yeah, that must have been.
And, I mean, like, I got good grades, but I was also a bleep head.
Yeah.
Just a complete bleep head in sixth grade. Sixth grade, I was one of the, like, most... I was probably the worst kid in my grade in sixth grade. Like, I acted up all the time, did all sorts of dumb stuff. And
the Antonio Brown of sixth grade.
But with good grades.
Yeah.
Like, Antonio Brown, good football player.
Yeah, that's the 1,400 yards.
Less throwing ottomans off of balconies, nearly hitting a toddler, and less, you know...
Less time in the pool.
Allegations of sexual assault, etc. Less of that, but that sucks. Anyway, now you know a little bit more about me. But I love my sister. She's awesome. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5, 92.5, 713-780-3776 to call to text into the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. You guys gotta rise, R-I-I-Z-E, me up! We gotta get rised up for the Rockets tonight. I can't deal with the negative vibes, the low energy. Let's get it. Stay put.
ESPN 97.5.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio-exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Host. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethost.com/terms.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.